All right, welcome back live at Radio Row here in Minneapolis inside the Mall of America. Thanks to our friends at Perfection Motorsports and Trailer Sales. And, you know, we've found a guy who's always entertaining on the air, but now I've learned off the air that he's got some local ties to our area. It's Steve Torrey. He's a radio host at SiriusXM. Before that, longtime radio host in New York City. Steve, how are you?
I'm doing great, Brady. Thanks for having me, buddy.
Thanks for stopping by Radio Row with us. Tell me the Vermont story that you just told me off the air.
Yeah, so my first commercial radio job was in the state of Vermont. I graduated college in May of 1986, CW Post, which was part of Long Island University in New York, and I sent probably about, 70, 80 tapes out to various radio stations across the country. And a job had opened up at the call letters were, I don't even know if they still exist, if it's the same, it was WCFR Radio in Springfield, Vermont. And they had a sports director job open, which required you to do, sports updates three times a day and some high school play-by-play, football, basketball, everything. And I got the job, and I had relatives that lived in the Vermont area, so I was pretty familiar with Vermont, and I thought it was pretty good, starting job to sort of get your feet wet and sort of, maybe make mistakes in an area where it wasn't overexposed or whatever at the time, so I thought, but there were some passionate fans. Anyway, it was a great experience. I was there for a year. Station got sold, and I eventually left and had to find some other employment at the time, but it was a great springboard for my career. I look back at it fondly. However, 85 inches of snow by February 1st that year, which I think was a state record at the time, so it wasn't fun.
So Vermont you're right, passionate fans, but it's more mellow than where you spent 18 years in New York City. How do you go from Springfield, Vermont to New York City?
Yeah, well, I mean, there was some couple of stepping stones along the way. I went back. I had actually, when I was in college, worked at a place called Sports Phone, which was, I don't even know if a lot of your listeners are familiar with it, but it was before the age of computers.
Yeah.
It was before ESPN, exploded. It was before the age of just social media, obviously. So it was a basic phone number, like a 976 number that you called up to get scores.
Yeah.
And so, and the alumni that worked there, I mean, it was a bunch of guys we broke into when we were all in college at the time. Bob Papa, who does the Giants on radio, he was there. John Gianone, who works for the MSG Network covering the Rangers, he was there. Steve Cangelosi, who's the TV voice of the New Jersey Devils, was there. There were other guys. Charlie Slows, who does the Washington Nationals, work there. And Howie Rose, who does the Mets on radio, he had started his career there. So it was talk about a springboard. So it was a good place to start. And then I worked in local radio in Westchester County, which is north of New York City. And then I got a job at 1010 Winds, which I spent 18 years with at the all-news station in New York as a weekend update guy. And then I was eventually blossomed to be the sports director there before I came over to SiriusXM. So that's how it worked. But yeah, Vermont, I tell you, I look at it, it was a really good place to, you're young, you're trying to sort of figure it out. Doing high school sports to sort of adapt to that and really pay your dues. I look back at that part of my career very fondly, honestly, I do.
Well, now that you've ingratiated yourself to our listeners and buttered them up, I got to ask you, are you a Yankee Giants allegiance guy, though? Now you can take off half our listeners?
Right. Well, when I worked in Vermont, the station carried Red Sox games.
Yeah.
So, I am a full-blown 100% Yankee fan. I'm 54. It's still to this day the team that I live and die with. I used to be a huge Giant fan, football Giant, Rangers and Knicks. But I kind of, I kind of got away from living for it on a day-to-day basis. Yankees, I'm still there. I'll still get pissed off. I'll still throw a pillow or if something bad happens. The playoff run that they had this year was fantastic. But the Yankees are still the one team that I'm totally live and die with.
So we're, hard to believe, Valentine's Day is when pitchers and catchers report for the Red Sox. So we're just outside 2 weeks. The AL East, it feels like the rivalry is back. And after I thought it was not dead, but it was dormant for a decade, it's going to be fun this year.
It's set up to have one hell of a ride, obviously, right? I mean, and when you look at the AL East, Brady, you know this, I mean, the Blue Jays are sort of in between. They're kind of trying to figure out if they're going to contend. And the Orioles, it look like they're on the downside. Machado's probably going to be on the move. And then the Red Sox and Yankees now, it's built in where this rivalry is going to be, it's going to be even more intense, I think, because you have the parts in place, right, where they can sustain this for a while. And the Red Sox certainly, after having a problem in the playoffs, and with the success that the Yankees had, and the Red Sox sort of taking a step back, even though they won the division and everything, I think that's going to make for some exciting stuff this year.
What do you think of Stanton and Judge in the same middle of the order?
Yeah, it's funny. As a Yankee fan, I was actually when it happened, believe it or not, I was a little down on it because I really felt like they didn't need him, as crazy as it sounds. He fell into their lap, so they had no choice. What made the Yankees appealing this past year, from my standpoint, was they weren't sort of the hated Yankees. They were likable.
Yes.
I mean, I had Red Sox fans come up to me and say, you know what, I want to hate them, but I really can't. You know, they're exuberant, they're fun. They sort of really look like they give a crap about each other.
Yeah.
You know, they like each other hanging out. And now they're going to sort of be the hunted a little bit. And the Astros, obviously, too. So that sort of changes the dynamic. But, yeah, I mean, we sort of envision the potential of what these guys can do if they stay healthy. And, you know, you're talking about not only them, but you're talking about, you know, with Didi Gregorius and Gary Sanchez. And it's potentially could be great. I have concerns being like a, you know, usually as fans we can be pessimists, but I have some concerns. But I think it's going to be an exciting summer.
We're on Radio Row talking with Steve Torrey, radio host at SiriusXM. Before that, was in New York City for 18 years. And well before that, he was in the state of Vermont working down in Springfield. I'm pumped for the summer. What do you think of Aaron Boone as the new manager of the Yanks?
You know, I kind of like it. I was one of the guys that when Girardi left, I kind of scratched my head because obviously I felt he earned it. He had been here for 10 years. You know, you hear rumblings that he didn't sort of relate to the younger player. I had a couple of experiences talking to Aaron Boone over the years, which he seems like an intelligent guy. Obviously, he played in New York. He's been basically, like, it was interesting. When the Yankees set out, when they interviewed him, they exposed him to the New York media to be questioned.
Yeah.
And they said, you know, like, how do you think you're going to handle this? He said, look, I've been preparing for this job since I'm 4 years old. Because he had a brother that played. His father played and managed. His grandfather was a big leaguer and an all-star. And I think that resonated with a lot of people. And he seems to relate really well. Now, look, he's going to be judged ultimately, Grady. You know this. He might win 103 games this year. He makes a bad move in the playoffs. He's going to be scrutinized. That's when he's going to be judged. He's going to be judged in October. Let's see how he handles it. Let's see how he handles a losing streak. Let's see how he handles a major crisis. Let's see how he handles a big-time injury. Let's see what happens if he goes to Fenway in August and gets swept in a four-game series by the Red Sox at Fenway Park. You know, those are the things I'm looking to see how he sort of deals with that.
I know you said you're no longer living and dying on the Giants, but for the portion of our audience that does, let's address them right now. Number two pick in the draft. Do you think they have to take the quarterback? Should they trade down a few spots and get another quarterback in the first round? I think that's going to be the debate, really.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. I was talking to Jim Miller, the ex-NFL quarterback who played for the Patriots for a while. He's a colleague of ours at SiriusXM. He works for the NFL channel. And he said, you know, if he were the Giants, he would, you know, because he was just down at the Senior Bowl. So I asked him about some of the quarterbacks. He said, yeah, Baker Mayfield was definitely one of the better ones. And he said, Josh Allen would be somebody interesting to me in terms of arm strength. He was the best. He was a little worried about his accuracy, but if he was the Giants, you know, and if they could work it out, he would look to try to draft them, sit behind Eli, and learn for a couple of years. But yet, I was co-hosting a show with Danny Cannell today on Mad Dog Sports Radio on SiriusXM. And, you know, Danny brought up something interesting. He goes, what if the Giants kind of look at Kirk Cousins as a guy that they could, you know, look at? You know what I mean? Like that. I don't think that would ever happen. But, you know, it's sort of interesting. You can go different ways. But, yeah, I mean, I think, you know, the quarterback would be the way to go. But we haven't seen Webb as a third-round pick. Like, you know, where is he in the whole mix? So that's something interesting, too.
You know, Radio Row is supposed to be for, you know, just Super Bowl talk and all the celebrities that are out here. What are the Redskins doing traded for Alex Smith yesterday?
Well, the thing that's the most bizarre part of that is that the fact that you invested, you know, $71 million in guaranteed money to a guy who's 34. Like, so I don't understand that whole thing. So I understand that, you know, but the way the market is earning, I think on an average it would be $23 million. That doesn't really surprise me. But investing that long for a guy who's 34, now I know you have Tom Brady who's winning at 40, but he's Tom Brady, right? I mean, guys have been able to win late in their careers. I just don't think that's the right fit. I think Cousins is the one who made out the most here. He can sort of sit back and figure out what he wants to do. Whether or not the Broncos are the answer, the Jets. We had Kurt Warner on our show today, and he actually brought up an interesting team. And he said, I think the Browns are interesting. When you say, you're sort of like, you know, the Browns. And he said, you know, look, there's nothing better to try to win at a place for the first time, which could be challenging. But he thinks that would be something, that a challenge that he could take on. I can't envision if John Elway sits down with Kirk Cousins, you know, a guy that's won a Super Bowl as a player twice, won it as an executive once. I can't envision him sort of like, if John Elway sits you down and offers a pitch, how you say no to him.
Yeah.
So I kind of think that's the best fit. But you're right. Going back to your original question, I scratched my head about the whole thing with that.
You got an idea? You got a prediction on the Super Bowl?
I think, you know, look, I know bodies and faces have changed over the years and the roster changes. Seems like the Patriots always play close games.
Yeah.
I think potentially this will be another close one. I give the Eagles a chance. Look, I break it down this way. It's simple, right? I mean, anybody can figure it out. I think they're really close in every position. I think they match up really well. The only difference is the quarterback, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that if the Eagles are in a situation here where they do have the lead in the fourth quarter, you know, Doug Peterson maybe is going to learn from some of the mistakes that Doug Marrone made with Jacksonville being conservative, how Atlanta handled it with a lead last year. So I think they'll sort of go for the jugular if they've got a lead late in the game. I like the Eagles' defense. I like their running attack. And I think they're comfortable in the role of underdog. Because, you know, how many teams can you say that were a one seed, that were underdog, and they're building for two playoff games and one? They're comfortable in this. But push comes to shove, I mean, am I really going to bet against Brady? I think it's going to be close. If I was going to take the points, I would go with the Eagles.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Steve Torrey, radio host, SiriusXM, got his roots in Vermont. Steve, we appreciate the time, man.
Brady, thanks. Enjoyed it. Thank you.